At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Real Deep Movie Review Podcast, where we dig deep into movies and talk about our thoughts on where the film hit or missed the mark. Today, we're going to be discussing Superman, which is the first DCU film under James Gunn since he took over at DC. Now, we do want to give a warning to all of our listeners. There will be plenty of spoilers throughout our discussion today. Okay, so what was your initial take?
I really liked it. Like, I think that is one of the best superhero movies I've seen in theater in a long time, especially for DC.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. It was definitely, I feel like, the best DCU movie in a long time. And I walked out of there feeling thoroughly entertained, and you know, wasn't boring at all. How do you think it compared to some of the other prior DCU movies?
I would say it was probably better than, honestly, like all of the DCEU movies that they had before, like all of Snyder's. I think it's better than even the ones that Snyder didn't do, just the ones that were in that universe. I think it's better than all of those. The only one that I would say maybe not would be the Batman, but that's not really a DCEU movie. That's kind of a separate entity.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I liked some of the other DCU movies, but yeah, they just weren't quite on the same level as where I think Superman fell. Well, what did you think about Superman as a character? I mean, you're a big fan of the comics, right? Mm-hmm. So give me your thoughts on that.
I think they did a great job with like making him accurate to his comic like personality, where I think I love Henry Cavill. I think Henry Cavill did an amazing job with Superman. I loved his Superman, but his Superman was seen more as like a god, and like he acted more like distance from humanity, and like I don't know, it just, that's not really what Superman's about. Like Superman's whole thing is that he's very, very human and acts just like us, even though he's this super powerful godly alien. And that's kind of a theme that I think that they got across very well in this movie, is that he's just as human as all of us, like, and who he is as a person.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, first of all, yeah, Henry Cavill is a phenomenal actor. But I agree, whenever Superman is shown to be this godlike creature, it's just so much less entertaining for me, right? Like he's not going to lose any battles. There's no real depth to the character in my view when he's so godlike. So I agree, bringing him back to humanity, I think, was crucial for the DCU as a whole and for Superman, just to make him more relatable and more likable.
Yeah. And I know some people, I saw some complaints online about, oh, well, he just keeps on getting beat up. You know, he's losing all of his fights. And it's like, well, yeah, but did you notice how, like, at the beginning of the movie, it said this is, like, I think year 3 Superman. And this is, like, the fight he lost at the beginning of the movie. First fight he ever lost. This is the first time in 3 years that he's ever lost a fight. And it wouldn't really be fun if we were just watching a movie of him just winning all the fights. And I think a theme that they were trying to get across is that Superman can't do it all by himself, because like you said, it'd be really boring going into this new DC universe if it was like, oh, well, we can just call on Superman to handle every issue and then it's all solved. That would kind of suck. Like it was really cool seeing him work with the Justice Gang of Mr. Terrific, Guy Gardner, Hawk Girl, even Metamorpho a little bit. Like that was pretty cool to see him work with these other characters. Oh, and even Crypto, the Superdog, like it was cool to see him work with them and how they used their own individual skills to like do their own thing, you know, and it all kind of blends together very well.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, it was interesting because I feel like the more recent portrayals have had him be more godlike, right? So It was interesting to see him actually struggling a little bit where you hadn't maybe seen as much of it recently. But also, you know, when he was losing fights, you know, who was he losing fights to, right? He was losing fights to Ultraman, which, you know, we eventually find out is a clone of himself, right? So it's not like he's losing fights to some thug on the street, right? Yeah.
And Lex Luthor is controlling him, and he's been studying Superman for years and has, like, he's telling all these, like, little, like, moves in his head and stuff. And, like, there's a lot more variables. It's not like he's just getting beat up by everybody in the movie. Like, he's losing to people who have been specifically training with a similar power set to him to directly counter and fight him.
Right. Yeah, I actually liked how they did that with Lex, how he was calling out the moves and how, you know, his kind of minions were even talking behind the scenes about how he had been studying him and every single one of his fights for all these years. Mm-hmm. And it really kind of drove home the point that this guy is completely obsessed with Superman. Right. Mm-hmm. And so even little subtle things like that, I felt like throughout the movie, they kept making that point of his obsession. Right.
And I think Nicholas Holt did an amazing job. I think that he did not perfect version of Lex Luthor. Like, I think the perfect version of Lex Luthor and Superman would be in the Superman animated series from the 90s. I think that's just like peak, like Superman. Like, I don't think you'll ever get better than that. But for a live action version, I think that he did a perfect job as Lex. Like, you really get across that point of this guy hates Superman. And I like that they also make him like he's not dumb. Like, he's really smart. He knows it's because he's jealous of Superman. He recognizes that. But he, like, it, even though he recognizes that, just because you recognize that you have a problem, just because you recognize something, like, it does not mean that you're going to make the change to fix that problem. It doesn't mean that you're going to, like, not have that problem anymore. So I like that he's able to recognize the fact that he is jealous of him, but he just hates the guy. Like, he just hates him. And he wants to prove, for him to beat that jealousy, he has to prove that he's better than him. That's, like, in his own, like, warped vision, is that that's the only way he can prove that he's better than Superman, is to, like, basically to kill Superman.
Yeah, he recognizes it, but he still can't get over his own insecurity, right? And so you're right. I think in his mind, the only way for him to get over that insecurity is to be able to kill him and somehow prove in some weird way that he's better, more capable and superior, right?
Yeah. And this was kind of going back a little bit, but to talk about that point of, like, how they work together in fights and how they haven't really been doing that recently makes me think of, like, the Justice League movie, which, hey, the first one, the Justice League, just the Justice League, that was not a good movie. That was not well done. Now, the Snyder Cut, I actually did really enjoy that movie. I thought that was pretty well done. But one huge flaw in that movie is Superman, where it's, like, in that final battle, I mean, the Justice League are kind of struggling. Like, it's like they're trying to work together, but, like, they're really struggling fighting Steppenwolf. He's kind of beating them up. And then Superman just comes in, and then it's like, oh my God, Superman's here. And then the day is saved. Like, Steppenwolf tries to hit him with his axe, and he just, like shrugs it off on his shoulders, like, smiles at him and then laughs about it. It's like, wow. I mean, listen, like, that was really cool. You know, that was definitely a cool scene of Superman. Cool to see Henry Cavill just beating him up. But, like, it was also just like, so we really are, like, comparing this guy to, like, a god. Like, he is so far above every other hero that they don't even have a chance at, like, bringing him down potentially or, like, doing anything to him. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Even the way that they talked about him, the other characters would talk about him in that movie because, right, he was, you know, kind of off on his own, right? He was dead, and then they brought him back, but he wasn't with them, right?
Yeah.
They wouldn't even, like, say his name for part of the movie. They called him. Right? Mm-hmm. As if he was a god and they couldn't even speak his name. It was a little bit too much. I mean, I agree with you. Some of the action scenes were awesome. But the character I felt like was just lacking a little bit.
And I do kind of understand it because I think what Snyder wanted to build towards was that, like, evil Superman arc where it's like, I mean, he is like a god and it's like, he has no humanity anymore. And he's like just a super scary godly being. And, like, you know, they're all kind of, like, in shambles trying to find a way to beat this guy. And I do think that, well, I'm kind of glad that that didn't happen, because I think that would have been a really weird direction for the main DC continuity to go. Like, that's much better in like an Elseworld story, or like, you know, like these other, like the Injustice, like, you know, like doing it in like something like that. I think it would have been weird to do it in like the main, like, movies. I think people would have hated it. I think people would have been very confused. So I'm glad that didn't happen, but I do think it's kind of cool. I think it'd be cool to see just like maybe in like a contained project somewhere else, not in like the main, like, DC storyline.
Right. Yeah. Almost like, you know, the Batman movie is not a part of this new DCU universe, right? But they might still, I think they're still planning to make that sequel, right?
Yeah.
But it just won't be a part of this. You could do something like that.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, you know, they're, DC and Max are like working, like they put all the DC stuff on Max, and they have like a Green Lantern show coming out, I think either late this year, or early next year. They have Peacemaker season 2 coming out really soon. You know, they had the Penguin earlier this year. They're doing a lot of DC shows. You could do a DC animated, like, you know how Marvel's doing the What If show on Disney Plus, which they have not done well at all, but you could do that the right way for DC and put that on Max. And then you could call it the Elseworlds, because that's like their version of What If in the comics. And if they did that right, that kind of takes away that category from Marvel as well, which, you know, they're kind of, you know, kind of competitors, right? Like, you're kind of like competing with each other. I think that'd be really smart of them to kind of get in there and kind of like take that spotlight, put it on themselves.
Yeah. One of the things I really liked about this one was it didn't feel like an origin story. You know, a lot of the origin stories with the MCU in particular, those were the most boring to me, right?
Yeah.
Like, you spend 50 minutes to an hour just introducing the character for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really important for this, because everyone knows who Superman is, right?
Yeah.
Like, even if you're a kid and you're not a huge comic book fan, or you don't watch a lot of superhero stuff, you still know who Superman is. Everyone knows who Superman is. Like, we don't need to spend half a movie introducing the guy. Now, there were still like some origin story aspects to it,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, they talked about, you know, they showed the clips of his parents, right? That,
yeah.
that became like an important theme later on, right? The clips of the video of his parents talking to him. They did show his parents who raised him, you know, on the farm, right?
Yeah.
And then they showed his relationship with Lois as Clark, and, but she already knew about him as Superman. And so, like, you skipped a lot of this stuff that I felt like a traditional origin story would have spent half the movie going over, or a full movie going over.
Yeah, it was an introduction to the character, but it wasn't like we're starting at base one. You know, it's like, honestly, you know what it reminds me of almost is like something that I think that older comics used to do pretty well, where I know Stan Lee had talked about this before, where they want to write every comic as in, like, this is, you're picking up your first issue. Like, you can just jump into this and you'll understand what's going on. The A plot is like a plot contained within this comic, or maybe 2 to 3 issues. And then maybe there's like a B plot that's going on, that's like an ongoing thing that's going, it'll eventually become an A plot kind of thing like that. But like, everything's kind of framed with a lot of detail. It kind of gives a lot of backstory. They'd have like the little asterisks that would be like, hey, if you want to know what they're talking about, go check out this issue. This is what they're talking about. Something that happened there. Things like that. And I think that's very helpful. And that kind of reminds me of this, where it felt like you're picking something up in the middle of like a movie. Like, you know, you're picking it up in the middle of a series. So you're like getting introduced to everything, but it doesn't feel like we're talking to you like you're dumb. Like, oh, well, you know, turns out he's actually an alien, guys. Yeah, it's like,
right.
Yeah, it's like, they know that you know what's going on. So they kind of start pretty easy on into the movie, and like, you just kind of start a story.
Yeah, and they give, you know, the first, you know, maybe there's like 5 minutes or whatever where they do give a little bit of background, right? They talk about how Superman recently stopped this war, and how that was this big deal at all these countries and everything, right? But they did it in like in just a very quick summary level fashion. Right?
Yeah.
You don't need to spend a whole movie on that. No one, because those of us who know Superman, that's just going to bore the heck out of us.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't want to watch a movie introducing a character that I've known for as long as I can remember. Right?
Yeah. It's almost like how Star Wars would do like the little, like, not like teleprompter, but like, you know what I mean? Like the little words going down the screen.
Galaxy far, far away.
Yeah. It's like you're giving some context to what's going on, but you're not like, well, here's the entire setup to everything that's happening in this movie. Like, we kind of just jump into the action with like a little bit of context to go into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, something that I think definitely deserves some praise in this movie is their handling of like other characters other than Superman. Like, what would you say? Side characters? Yeah. Like, I think that they did a great job like with them, where an issue that I feel like the MCU has struggled with is it's like every time a side character's in the movie, it feels like they're like a big part of the movie. Like, it feels like either they're a glorified cameo or they're like such a huge part of the movie where it's like taking away from the main character. I never felt like that in this movie. And you spend a lot of time with side characters. Like, you spend a ton of time with Mr. Terrific and Lois, but I never feel like this is a Mr. Terrific and Lois movie. It always comes back to Superman. Superman is the star. Superman is the main character, but you get introduced and you get to know a lot of these other characters without getting their backstory, which is, I think, the way it should be. We should build this as like, this is a world that already has metahumans and superheroes in it. You know, like, they're already living in this world. We don't have to introduce everybody, but you know, we are like introducing them in these movies and shows where it's like, oh, they're already characters that exist. They already kind of have a relationship with the main character. And then once they get their solo project, then we'll learn a little bit more about their backstory. We'll find out some stuff about them, like things like that. And I think that's the right way to go about it. That way it feels more like a real movie. Cause something that I've complained about before about some of the older MCU movies, like Thor Dark World is the one that always comes to mind. It's like huge attack on the city, like this huge, like big world stakes thing, this evil dark elf is like all this stuff. Where are the Avengers? No one is here. Like, it's just Thor. Where's everybody at? You know, it's like, and that's an issue with a lot of the MCU movies is it's like, there are other heroes in this world. Where's everybody at? There's a world ending threat and no one's here.
Right.
So I like that they have other heroes here because it makes sense that they would be because they're stationed in the same area, you know?
Yeah, and like you said, they don't become the focal point of the movie. You don't need a deep background on all of them or how they came to be in their situation, mm-hmm. right? But they are there, and I agree. It almost makes it seem more realistic if you're trying to build a universe, right?
Yes.
Those later movies, like you're saying, you'll reflect back and you'll be like, well, wait a minute. Like, what happened? Where did these guys go, right?
Yeah. And that's something where I hope that they'll continue doing that, because I think that's a huge improvement on what Marvel has done, where it feels like there's a lot of forced entry of characters and people and stuff, and it's just kind of like annoying, you know?
Yeah.
But
well, what'd you think about Lois?
Lois, I liked Lois. I don't know. I don't know. My favorite version of like Superman, Lois, Lex, like that's all from like the animated series. Like that's my go-to and like my favorites. And she didn't really act like that Lois a ton, but like she did some, I don't know. I thought she was good. Like I liked her. There were some times where I kind of like disagreed with things that she was saying or like, was like, I don't really get like what your point is here.
Yeah, but I thought it was interesting. Like the one scene where she interviews him,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was actually a really good scene. And it was kind of throwing me because she was, as like a reporter, as an interviewer, she was being somewhat aggressive to him,
yeah.
like in a way where he's kind of like a hostile interviewee, right?
Yeah.
So you're treating him as such. But I actually liked that she handled it that way. I think it gave a little more depth to her character where now like this is her job and she takes it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, she's going to interview Superman. She's not going to interview him like she's somebody that knows him, right? She's going to interview him like a real reporter. So I thought that was a good scene that gave her character a little bit more in the movie.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think they used that scene to kind of raise up some points too, because like there was something she said where like she was saying like, oh, you're representing like America. And that was something that kind of was like, you know, I was like Superman where it's like, well, no, he's Superman. He never said, I'm the American representee over here, you know, like. He's doing what he can to help people. And that doesn't stop in America. He's doing that all over the world. So, but I feel like they used that scene to kind of bring up that topic for him where he was basically just saying like, I'm just here to help. Like I'm here to like Again, I think that, yeah, no, I do like the scene a lot because they use that scene to talk about a lot of stuff with Superman, like to kind of bring up some of those topics of like, well, this is what his goal is. This is what his motivation is without it being a backstory. He was just, yep. You know, he's telling the public, this is what, you know, here's some facts about me, I guess, you know?
Yeah. But they're legitimate questions too, right? Those are questions that people in that world would have.
Right? It didn't feel forced. Yeah.
Right. Agreed.
I also feel like they handled like, they had not like a lot of cameos, but they had a couple, like they had like a Peacemaker cameo. They had a cameo with, is it Sean Gunn? I feel like it is. James Gunn's brother. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Sean Gunn. They gave him a cameo as Maxwell Lord, you know, John Cena's Peacemaker. Those were great cameos. I really enjoyed those. Like I like it when those are the best kind of cameos, you know? I think that, again, like, I think the MCU has kind of struggled on some cameos recently where it feels like the cameos are taking more of a spotlight than anything else in this movie. The biggest one, I think, would be the Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. I think that they struggled a lot in that where they were like, oh, John Krasinski's Mr. Fantastic, and look, there's Black Bolt, and oh my God, Professor X is back. You know, it's like, and then they just killed the characters, and it was like, wow, that sucks. I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want to see these cool characters and just see them get killed. Like that's right. Frustrating, yeah. You know?
I, you know, John Cena's Peacemaker is just, it's such a good character.
Perfect casting, honestly.
And I love the way that they did it, right? Mm-hmm. Where he's just like, he's just kind of a Superman hater, right? You can tell there's a lot of envy and, mm-hmm. and whatever in his character too. And it seemed also very 2025 where like,
yeah.
Oh, this big famous guy is kind of getting knocked off his pedestal and like, all right, well, here come people out of the woodwork to come like kind of knock this guy down a little further while he's already on the ground.
Right? Yeah. I mean, you even see that like with like, honestly, like with like celebrities or like rappers or like musicians, like actors, you know, like where it's like, oh, well, this really big star, something happens and they're kind of getting some traction. And then all of a sudden here comes random person from like 5 years ago, you kind of remember, oh, they have a story. They have so much to say. And it's like, you're just trying to be relevant. Like you just want to try to like take some of this attention to yourself.
Exactly. You're using someone else's downfall to make yourself relevant. And it's, you know, unfortunately there's just a lot of that that goes on, but yeah, mm-hmm. I thought it was really good how they brought that in. And that was, like you said, it was a cameo where they brought a character in that's pretty beloved. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't do it in a way that felt so forced. He didn't become this big piece.
Yeah. He had one scene. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was subtle and it was well done. And then he goes away.
Mm-hmm. But no, I do. That's another thing I love about that character is something that he has all these stories about superheroes and he knows all these crazy behind the scenes details about him, about like Aquaman. Oh, Aquaman had sex with a fish. Like, how would you ever know? But he knows, you know, it's like that kind of thing. Or like Batman's rogues gallery, how Batman sucks because he doesn't kill any of his, like things like that. Like he hates all these superheroes and he has like all these stories that no one knows about the superheroes. It's really well done and it fits really well with his character and who he is.
Yeah.
Because he's also super insecure. Like he's a very, very insecure guy.
Right.
Because he wants to be a hero, but like, his idea of a hero is very different from everybody else's. So he feels definitely like less than a lot of these people who get attention and stuff.
Yeah. Well, you brought up crypto earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta be honest. When I first heard that, you know, I didn't know it was going to be named Crypto, but like Superdog or whatever, right. This dog was going to be in there.
Yeah.
It, to me, that was a huge eye roll moment. I was like, this is going to be super lame. I don't want to see that. Right.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised with how they did that.
Mm-hmm.
The character of Crypto.
I think they handled it very well. I didn't like, I don't know. When I found out about it, I know what you mean. I mean, I figured that they'll probably do something right with it because, you know, it's James Gunn. Like I figured he'll handle it well. I think that he seemed very passionate about the whole thing, but I was definitely a little bit worried because it's like, that's hard to do. Like you have a super dog. So like, you don't want to make the dog like this annoying side character that's like lame, you know? But no, I think they did really well with it. Like he acted like a dog. Yeah. Right. Like he acted like a bad dog. He acted like a bad dog, but it was really enjoyable. It never came across as like corny or like lame. And it was like, he actually had some good moments for like, where he would actually help. Like he actually did something, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, they did it in a way where they actually gave the character of Crypto like a little bit of depth, right?
Yeah.
He had some moments. He didn't have a huge role in the movie, which is important because it's a super dog. No one wants to see that as like this huge role in the movie, right?
Yeah.
But he had a few scenes where he definitely helped. I love that he was a bad dog, right? Because yeah. You can relate. Like if you've got a dog, you can relate to like sometimes your dog doesn't listen or it does like these stupid obnoxious things, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be super annoying. And it's even more annoying when the dog has like all these powers where it actually hurts when the dog bites you, even if you're Superman, right?
Mm.
You know, I loved when you first see him is when he comes at the beginning of the movie, right? After Superman gets like knocked down to Antarctica or whatever it is, wherever his base is, right?
The Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah. But he, you know, he whistles for the dog. Crypto comes running and it's like, he doesn't know what he wants. He wants him to take him home. Right. But Crypto doesn't know at first. And so he
tries to like play with him and jump on him.
He's jumping on him. He's injured and he's jumping on him. Right. Like I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought they did those things in a good way. I also like how at the end you find out like, it's not his dog.
Yeah.
Right. It's
Supergirl's
dog. It's his cousin's dog. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And she's apparently just like, you know, some like 20 something, like going to what I would call bars. Right. But she's going to these like other worlds where she can go get drunk.
Well, yeah, she's going, what he said there, she's going to planets with red suns so that their powers don't like work there basically. Right. So that she can get drunk and like party and do things like that. And I thought that was also a nice touch because Supergirl shouldn't be the same as Superman.
Right.
Their personalities should be different. You know, like they shouldn't be the same character. That would be really lame if it was just like, oh, this is just a girl version of Superman.
Yeah.
They should be different. They should have a unique character. And yeah, I think it made sense that it was like, oh, the dog's hers. You know, it's like, it doesn't listen and it's bad. Well, she doesn't listen and she's going out partying all the time. Right. So it kind of like fits that her dog would also like not have been trained well.
Yeah. It wouldn't make sense if it was Superman's dog.
And
he couldn't train this thing, right? It wouldn't fit the character.
He grew up on a farm. Like, it's like, he should know how to like handle that.
Right.
But yeah, no, I think they handled that really well. That's another thing. I think that her cameo was done really well where it sets up, because her movie is the next movie in line with like this like universe. It's coming next year. And I think they set it up really well where it's like, oh, she gets a little appearance at the end. You kind of find out a little bit about her. But again, you don't find out a lot. Like you want to learn more about the character. Well, you got to go check out the movie. And again, that it really brings me back to those old comics where it's like they have all these guest appearances and it's just like normal. It's normal that other characters would appear in the comic and then like they leave after the issue. And then it's kind of like, hey, if you want to follow up with them, like, cause they'll like say a little line that has something to do with something going on in their series. They'll be like, hey, if you want to keep up with them, go check out this issue. It's like, go check out the next issue. It's like, I like that. It's again, bringing back to that old classic kind of like, this is, I don't know. I like that. As a comic fan, I like that a lot.
Is it now? James Gunn's talked about being a comic fan, right?
Yeah.
Like you think this is where ultimately all that stems from?
Well, I don't even know if he's a huge comic fan. I think he loves the characters. And I think that when he's making a movie, he takes the time to learn and read and like find out about the characters. Like I think he actually spent time reading a lot of Superman comics to like really understand the characters so that he could do the best adaptation he could. And I think that's what he's doing for a lot of these movies. And I know David Cornsweet too. I know he also really cares. And he's a little bit, you know, kind of like Henry Cavill, he's a little bit of a nerd too, which I think is perfect. I think for these kind of roles, you kind of need somebody who's a little bit of a nerd. Like they need to know something about the character because then they're going to be there. They're going to be like, hey, hold on a second. Let's do this instead. And I actually saw a clip where James and David, they were talking. It was about the scene at the end where he's like ranting to Lex. Where he's like telling Lex, like he has like that big moment. They were talking about the delivery of that scene and they were disagreeing on it. And James was kind of telling David how the reasoning for why he thinks that it should be delivered this way, the impact it's going to give. And you can tell as soon as that resonates with, as soon as he like understands what James is saying, he's like, he just starts walking and kind of pats him on the back and he goes and he delivers that line.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is perfect. That's exactly what you want to see. An actor and director who are working together they're both passionate about the project. They're both passionate. They're working together to figure out what's the best way to go about this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's what you want out of a director, right? Mm-hmm. Like every director's got a vision for the movie that they're directing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, like they're the leader,
right? Well, the leader needs to explain their intent to everyone else.
Yeah.
And so when someone doesn't understand it, you know, you can't have a director out there like berating the actors because they don't get your vision. Like, you obviously haven't explained it, right? So he takes the time to explain it to these people, and that's how you're going to get the best out of these actors, right? Because they want to do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to understand why you want them to perform it in a certain way. So yeah, I agree. And I agree with, you got to have somebody for such an iconic role like this. The actor needs to love the character a little bit, right? Like, mm-hmm. this isn't some random action movie, some random comedy or drama where no one's ever heard of the character, right? It's some new story that's being told.
Yeah.
This is an iconic character that everyone knows. And so I want an actor who loves that character, who knows about that character and wants to do it right.
Yeah. And again, there was a lot of love shown that just even like smaller Superman side characters, like especially at the Daily Planet, you know, like Jimmy there, he kind of played a little bit of a role in the movie. It wasn't like a huge, huge role, but he was there. Cat Grant, she was there. She's a character from the comics and stuff. She didn't have a big role, but still, it's like she's there. And I really liked Perry. You know, I thought they did a great job, Perry. And something that I loved about Perry that they gave him his big cigar. Like, that's something like him, J. Jonah Jameson, like they always in the comics had that, like the cigar.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like a thing with their character. And I feel like a lot of like movies, shows, comics, just media in general have moved away from like any smoking characters, anybody smoking, which I get. Because, you know, it's not good. There's a lot more awareness about it today. Like, it's not good for you to smoke, right? Like, it's not.
Yeah, we don't want our body seeing that in popular comic movies or comic books and thinking that this is something they should do.
Yeah, they don't want to promote that to, like, children and stuff, which I get. But for a character like this, I think that works very well. It's an older guy. He's not from our time, right? Like, he's from a time where it's like that was pretty normal. And also it's kind of a staple that like the character kind of does, you know. Another character that I feel like should still do it that they kind of stopped was the Thing. The Thing used to always have a cigar. Like that was like he always had a cigar and they stopped doing that. And I don't really understand why. I mean, well, I understand why, but I kind of don't like it because it was kind of just like a thing he always did. And it was like, you know what? Like that's one of his things. A Wolverine used to smoke a lot. Now for Wolverine, he couldn't actually feel anything. He isn't like,
yes, yeah, he's just going to get lung cancer, right?
Yeah. He's not going to get lung cancer because his body heals. But like, and I don't even know if he got like, I don't know, but I think it might've calmed him. Maybe. I don't know. Cause I had a comic where he kind of talked about it a little bit, but still, it's just like, it's one of those things where it's like for those specific characters, I mean, you might as well have him do it, right? Like it makes sense. And it doesn't mean you have every character do it, but for those characters, it works and it makes sense.
Yeah. And I get, you know, I think for big characters like Wolverine, it makes more sense that you would take that away, right? Times evolve and you know, stories can evolve with them. Characters can evolve with time.
Yeah.
But I agree for a side character like Perry, it makes more sense. Just keep him the same, right? Mm. That'll resonate more with the long-term fans.
Yeah.
What'd you think about the Justice Gang?
I really liked them. I thought they did a great job. Nathan Fillion is Nathan Fillion. I think he did a great Guy Gardner. I mean, because Guy Gardner, he's supposed to be like just this unbearable jerk. Like you don't like him. And he did that. He did that really well where it's like, this guy just sucks. But like, he's fun for us to watch. But like, everyone in the universe hates him. I just read a comic. One of the comics I just got last week, Green Lantern comic. It was from the 90s. Him and Hal Jordan were fighting over who is like the Earth's Green Lantern and who will be like the one that like stays there and who goes like off to like a different like sector is what they call him. And literally like the whole Justice League was there and like they were all just like, God, please. Like they were like actually like begging Hal to like win. Like they couldn't stand Guy. I think the only person there who was like on Guy's side was his girlfriend Ice at the time. Like that was it. Everybody else was just like, God, I really hope. Hal wins this. Like Flash was trying to give him call outs and they were saying you can't do that. Like, and then like the only one there that wasn't like on either side was Superman. Superman was just there trying to like, you know, make sure everybody was okay. Like that was all, which again, it works with his character. He's not going to take sides like that. He's not going to do that.
Right.
But no, so I think they did a good job with that. I think they did a good job of him just being unbearable. Nobody likes him. Mr. Terrific goes to help Lois. And something he even says is that part of why he did it is because he wanted to piss off guy, right? Like, yeah, right. Like they just, they don't like him. Mr. Terrific's in their character. I think they did amazing because honestly, I didn't know a lot about Mr. Terrific because I've never been like a big, like JSA reader. I've never really like cared a ton about him. I was kind of just seen that the Justice Society is kind of just being like second rate Justice League. I just don't care. But this movie has made me very interested where it's like, now I actually want to go back and read some of these comics because he was super cool. And I love the actor too. I can't pronounce his last name or his first name. I think it's EDI. I don't know if it's Eddie or Edie, but he's also a really talented actor. He was in the Twilight movies. He was in an X-Men movie, which they did him really bad in that movie. They did his character poorly. They like killed him off in the first like 20 minutes or something. And then he was in the Harder They Fall movie with Jonathan Majors. That's another amazing movie. He did a great job in that movie as well. So I really like that. Hulk Girl, we didn't really spend a lot of time with her. We didn't get to know her a lot.
Right.
But I thought she was cool. Like, I thought she was cool. Especially, she ends up killing one of, like, the big villains in the movie. And I think that was another great thing to separate her from, like, Superman. You know, Superman will kill, but he really doesn't want to. Like, he really wants to do anything he can to not do that. Hawk Girl, she doesn't really care. Like, she's going to kill you if that's what it takes to, like, save the day, you know?
Right.
Same thing with Guy. Guy doesn't care. You know, he was just, like blowing up tanks and stuff. Like, he was just walking through these people. He did not care. And I think that's another great way to show their contrast to, like, Superman.
Yeah, and I want to see that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want every character to be the same. I want the characters to be different. Mm-hmm. And if you have all these superheroes, it's not like they're all going to listen to each other. Like, just because Superman has whatever code of ethics that Superman has, it doesn't mean that every other character is going to feel the same, right? And they're all going to be confident enough or arrogant enough that they're going to feel like my code of ethics is just as meaningful or just as important as Superman's. And so I'm going to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. And again, I think that's something that in the comics, they also do like pretty well. Like that's something that is, you know, obviously, you know, I'm a comic fan. So this movie for me, I really enjoyed it because a lot of stuff reminds me of the characters in the comics. Like it reminds me of different themes that they'll have there. Like, but an example of how that can be like, it was a Justice League comic in the 90s. And Batman and Huntress, I don't know if you know who Huntress is. She's like a Batman side character, but she was on the league, like kind of a little bit at the time. And there was this villain, Prometheus, who he was like, I mean, he was kind of a big deal. Like he could like mimic and copy. He's kind of like Taskmaster from Marvel. He could mimic and copy like all the like, actually, no, you know what? I don't think he could mimic and copy. I think he just had down, he had like a helmet that had like all these different fighting styles. So, and he knew the weaknesses and like the details and information about all the heroes. So he knew how to take everybody down. So, you know, he was actually a threat, right? They ended up beating him. They got his helmet off and Huntress, she was going to kill him. But Batman walks in on her and sees her doing that. And he kicks her off. He just kicks her off the Justice League. Like, it's not even like hey, this is a debate on what she, he just kicks her off. And it's like, nobody really does anything about it because it's almost like, is it really anybody else's place to kind of come in there and do that? And that's kind of another example of, yeah, but she's not going to just be like, oh, I'm so sorry that I shouldn't have done this. Like, she still stands by what she did. Like, she thinks that she was doing the right thing because she's like, this guy's a threat, even though he is down. And even though we have beaten him, he's still a threat to us. He can come back in the future. So yeah, it's, I don't know. It's an interesting like thing that I think they did well. And I think they kind of did that in this movie a little bit, not like, you know, obviously like this heated debate, but like where like everybody you're showing that these people and characters are different.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Do you feel like there's been some criticism online? People felt like there were too many characters. Like they packed too many.
I disagree. I completely disagree. I mean, I understand it. Maybe now, I don't know, because it's hard for me because I'm not like, I'm somebody, I know who all these characters are. Like I know them all. So maybe for me, it feels like, oh, well, I already know who that is. Like, that's cool that they're here. I know a little bit about them, but I guess I could see how maybe like somebody who doesn't know anything about DC comes into the movie. They're like, well, I know who Superman is. And then they're like, oh, who's this? Wait, oh, what's this guy? Like, oh, you know, it's like, I could see how they might be a little overwhelmed with it. But I think that it was handled very well, because I think that it was done not for somebody who doesn't know anything about the character. I think it was done for someone like me who, like, who knows these characters, and I'm a comic reader. And it's like, for me, it's like, that's amazing, you know? And I do think that they, I still feel like they handled it well, where none of these characters took away from the story. They were just other characters in the movie, like in the universe. And it was like, yeah, they're going to be a part of the movie and they're going to be helping out doing stuff, because of course they would. Right.
Yeah. And I would say, from the perspective, you know, I'm not as much of a comic fan, right? I knew who Green Lantern was and who Superman was. Other than them, you know, obviously I knew who Lex Luthor was,
yeah.
But I didn't know Mr. Terrific. I didn't know Hawk Girl. But to me, it still didn't feel like there were too many. But I wonder if it goes back to if people were expecting like an origin story.
Yeah.
Where they only expected to see Superman, Lois, Lex, you know, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And then you got some of these, you know, the Justice Gang people thrown in here as well. And so that maybe felt overwhelming. But honestly, I didn't walk away feeling that way at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just goes back to our discussion earlier of like, they were trying to do something different where you stepped into a universe.
Yeah.
Right. And this thing was already going on and these people were already here. And that's maybe what, maybe it was different than what people expected.
Yeah. Yeah. No, all in all, I think they handled all the characters really well. I really enjoyed the performances. I think Lex was great. I think they showed Lex as somebody who is a truly malicious guy who is willing to go very far to get what he wants. And that's something where, like, in the DCEU, Lex was he was definitely, you know, he was rotten, right? Like, he was willing to do some pretty messed up things. He was going to kill Superman's mom and all that. But he was like jolly. Like, he was like giddy with joy all the time. And it was like, Lex Luthor is like a very serious, like, businessman. Like, he is not a like jolly Riddler, like Joker. Yeah,
they almost
type
made him
character.
Seem like he had, you know, some sort of psychological condition, right? Like, he wasn't all there.
He honestly reminded me more of like the, like, more, not obviously the Riddler from the Batman, but like, he reminded me more of a more normal, like, Riddler or like the Mad Hatter from Batman or like the Joker, like one of those characters where it's like, this guy is not all there. He's like giggling and like, I don't know. They did him really weird. And it was not done well at all in those movies. But I think in this one, I think they made him very malicious in a serious way. But another criticism I saw was that people felt like there was too much comedy undercutting serious moments. And I did like watch a video, and like the guy kind of like talked about it a little bit, kind of explained how he felt about it. And I kind of understand from some perspectives what they might mean. Like, but like the only one that I could really feel that was like at the end when like Superman and Lex are having that like kind of like talk, rant off, I guess, you know, there's like talking to each other, and then Crypto comes in and starts like, but I thought that was funny. But I do know what people mean, where it's like that kind of like took away a little bit. It made me stop thinking about what they're talking about until like, again, later I started thinking about it again. I feel like that was a good scene, but like, maybe it would have been better if they didn't have that in it, you know?
I could see that. Yeah, I think, you know, there might have been one or two instances where maybe the attempt at comedy took away a little bit. But I think for the most part, I feel like James Gunn's pretty good with that, right?
Yeah.
And I also went into it a little bit understanding this is a James Gunn film.
Yeah.
He wrote it. He directed it.
It's going to be a little bit of comedy.
Yeah. I mean, if you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy, if you've seen Suicide Squad, mm-hmm. like it's...
And it's not anywhere near as like funny as those movies. Like it's not a comedy, you know, like
right.
They just have little moments sprinkled in where it's like, that's, you know, that's funny.
Yeah. And I don't mind that. Right.
I don't mind that at all.
Superhero movie. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, this isn't Saving Private Ryan, right?
Yeah.
It's a superhero movie. And so I think it's okay to have a little fun with it. I don't mm-hmm. think you have to take it so seriously. You're right though. That might've been one scene where maybe you could have done without. But yeah. I think for the most part, I think they executed pretty well in the comedy.
Yeah. No. And then another one I saw people complaining about was the scene where he says he's going to turn himself in to go find Crypto. And she's like, you're going to do this for a dog? And he's like, yeah, and he's not even a very good dog. But, you know, he's out there scared. And people are like, oh, my God, that's take. I was like, I don't think that's even taken away from the scene. I think it's just like, this is true. Like, he isn't a very good dog. But then he was like, but, you know, he's out there. He's scared and alone. And it's like, you know, it's, you know, got to help him. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's how people feel about a dog, right?
Yeah, it's like, I don't think that was like a, oh, he's trying to get everybody laughing in the theater. I don't think that was what it was supposed to be. I don't know. I think people sometimes kind of take reaches to criticize. Like, another big, big reach I saw was people were talking about, this movie's so woke. This movie's so, and it was like, hold on. Now listen.
In what way?
Well, the biggest thing people were talking about was like immigration, because Superman's an immigrant. But it's like, dude, Superman's always been an immigrant. Like, there was never like any message in this movie like, oh, Superman says all immigrants should come. Like, never were they talk about that.
And Lex has hated him for being an alien,
yeah,
for a long time.
That's always been.
It's not Lex, that he's some illegal alien from, you know, across the border. He just hates him because he's an alien.
He hates him because he's an alien, which means, you know, he's not human. And then he's like better than him, you know, because he's stronger. Like, that's why he hates him. Like, there was that's always been his motivation, is he hates him because he feels
the alien aspect as a way to get other people to hate him. He hates him because he's envious, right? Mm-hmm. He gets other people to hate him because he's an alien.
Yeah, he uses that as like a manipulation tactic. And yeah, I don't understand why people who were saying that this is like a woke movie, just like, you're not a true fan of Superman then, because this is what Superman's always done. Like, honestly, I don't know what people were going to do when they do the next X-Men movie. This, spoiler alert, it's kind of a, you know, a little bit of, not like a parody of like, you know, real life issues, but it is talking about like people who don't like people because they're different.
Different than them.
Yeah, right. That's always been
what it's been about.
That's always been the theme of X-Men. That's always been the thing. So I'm sure
just a reality of the way humans have been for thousands of years.
It's just how humans are.
This is not something new in 2025 that is woke to, mm-hmm. to think and talk about. No, that's something people have done for thousands of years.
Yeah, people are afraid of what they don't know. You know, it's like that's always been a thing. And yeah, that's always been a thing in X-Men specifically. That's always been one of their points and messages in the book. But yeah, I'm sure they're going to have all these true X-Men fans coming out of the woodwork. Well, this is not my X-Men. Well, why is it so woke? And it's like, and listen, I feel like there's plenty of recent superhero, especially on the Disney MCU side, projects that have been like, yeah, this is something else, man.
They're
trying
to make a bigger.
Yeah, they have an agenda. They have an agenda behind it. And it's like, oh my God, dude, this is just draining.
But I did not pick up on that.
I did not get that from this movie at all. But again, that. Definitely been plenty of that recently. Not in this movie. I think they did a great job of this movie not being that at all.
Yeah. So this is James Gunn's first film since taking over at DCU, right?
Yeah, because I don't think the Suicide Squad was when he had taken over yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So he wrote and directed this. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's your take on that? Does this leave you excited for what he's got coming next?
Very. Yeah, I'm very excited for what's coming next. And there's already a lot of stuff coming out about what's coming next, which I'm also very excited about. This isn't going to be like a situation where it's like, oh, this is coming next in the next like couple decades. It's like, no, this is coming next. And the next movie's next year. And we have Peacemaker 2 that's coming out this year. Green Lanterns, that's coming out like year or late this year, early next year. And then he's also going to talk about movies that aren't even like done yet, like Clayface. You know, he's talking about that, how that's going to be like a horror movie. Yeah, that sounds super cool. I'm very excited for that. You know, his they're doing for Batman, they're doing like a Brave and the Bold Batman. So it's going to be like Batman and Robin. Also pretty cool, because the only Batman and Robin movie we have so far, like, well, the two we have are not like they're not exactly up to par with a lot of movies now. So like, I think that's very exciting that we're going to be getting a more modern, more like serious take on Batman and Robin, you know? And then also what's exciting about that as well is I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure the Robin is going to be like Damian Wayne, I think. So if Damian Wayne's a Robin, that means that Nightwing is already Nightwing. So he's already in the universe. He's already like this other character, which is awesome. Tim might be in the universe, right? Jason, there might be potential for a Red Hood story. That's super cool. I really want to see Red Hood and Nightwing on like a movie. Like, it'd be awesome. Like, I'd love to see that. So I think that also opens a door for a lot of really cool potential stories, where before in a lot of Batman movies, you know, again, it's been like that. Oh, we have to start from square one. Oh, we have to do this. Oh, we have to do that. And I think that Snyder actually didn't do that, which I was a little bit surprised about. But like, looking back on the movies, I'm pretty sure there was a scene where like you see a Robin uniform and it's like kind of messed up, like, which I'm pretty sure is supposed to lead you to believe like, oh, you know, this is the one that Joker got, right? Like Joker got him, you know? And it's like, oh, that was a cool, like little detail for comic fans, but they never really got a chance to go into a Batman. I really wish Ben Affleck would have gotten the Batman solo movie. Honestly, I think he actually played a really great Batman and Bruce Wayne. He just had bad scripts, just bad scripts. But I think he played the role very well. He gets way too much hate for those movies. It really wasn't his fault, all that stuff.
Right.
But
yeah, I'm with you. I'm excited. You know, I feel like James Gunn took a little bit of heat when he first came on board. Mm-hmm. He, you know, one of the first things he did was he stopped production on, I don't know how many movies.
A bunch of DC movies. Yeah.
Yeah. And part of me at the time was like, oh man, that's tough for these people. But, but I also get it, right? You got somebody new coming in. He's got a vision for what he's trying to do. Mm-hmm. Now it's on him to execute on that vision and make it worthwhile for people.
Yeah.
Right. That's going to be his responsibility and his burden, but it makes sense. Like, you don't want to spend the next 5 years rolling out movies you don't believe in that don't fit your vision.
Yeah.
Right. You'd rather just, let's make a clean break before we waste any more money on these things. Mm-hmm. And let's start anew with a movie that, or with a series of movies that actually fit what I'm trying to do here.
Yeah.
And I think this was a great start, and you know, I'm excited to see what he's got coming next.
And he's even done that for some new like ones, like even ones that he was working on, like that were like under him, that like where like the vision wasn't clear. It was like kind of like, you know, what's going on? He canceled those. And I think that's good, because if you don't have a clear vision, if it's not really going well, why spend a bunch of extra money in production for all these years to release a project that's gone through all these rewrites? Cause that usually doesn't end up well, you know?
So the one I hope that they still make, and I know, it's not really part of the DCU, right? But like, they got to make that second Batman.
Oh yeah, they will. I would be shocked. I don't think he'll cancel it. Oh, that actually, no, that brings me to another comment. A bunch of people are talking about, oh, we need the Pattinson, Pattinson Corn Sweat collab. We need to have the, no.
Keep Pattinson's Batman in just the Batman solo movies. That's where it belongs.
Keep it in its own great thing. It's great dark, as it is.
It's gritty. Mm-hmm. That's where it needs to belong. That is not what this Superman universe, this new universe appears to be to me.
Yeah. They would not mesh well as characters. So it wouldn't really like work.
Yeah.
And I don't, but you know, people obviously just, they want, like, they like both these things. They want it to be together. You know? Yeah. But I don't think that'd be a good,
I think it would hurt both.
Yeah.
I think you could add Batman in this. You just got to have somebody else play him. It's just got to be a different Batman.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. I mean, how many Batmans have we had, you know, since the 80s, right? Like, we've had plenty. It's fine.
I don't think anybody's going to be confused. Like, it's going to be a completely different costume, a completely different person. Like, it's, people won't be confused. It'll be pretty clear which ones are connected and which ones aren't, you know? But no, James Gunn was under a lot of heat for also like releasing Henry Cavill, which I get. Cause you know, I love Henry Cavill. Like, he's awesome.
Great actor.
Yeah. And he seems like a great guy, you know, but you know, that would be confusing. That would be confusing to have him as Superman.
If you're going to have a fresh start, you got to have a fresh start with a fresh face.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because Henry Cavill, you know, deserved to still play Superman.
Yeah.
Right. But it just didn't work out with what he's trying to do here. And so, you know, I don't think it was anything other than it just wouldn't make sense for what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And therefore it doesn't work.
He was also under some fire for canceling, cause there was a Batgirl movie that they were actually like done working on. Like they were like it was ready to go, but he canceled it. And people were really upset about it because it was like, oh, well this movie was like already done. Like they already like did it. But like, honestly, when I heard like some of the stuff about the movie, like the plot details, some of the characters, it was like, yeah, I don't think that would have done well. I think it would have done poorly, and then they would have lost money, and then it would have been like, What's the point of that?
And then it's a black eye on the DCU, right? And he's trying to rebuild it.
Yeah.
And so it actually hurts his ability to do that.
Yeah. Because there, before he took over, there were quite a few duds. Like The Flash, not a great movie.
Despite Aquaman the fact 2, that it was done 2 years before it rolled out.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Which made it all worse.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you know, The Flash, Aquaman 2, what was the other ones? See, I don't even remember. Like, it's like there were more DC. I know Blue Beetle. I think that was like fine. I never even saw that. Like there were other DC movies that came out. They just like nobody liked them. You know, it was like they weren't doing well. So it was like, why would you then release a movie that is going to also not do well? You don't want to do that, especially when you're taking over, right? Like, because it's going to look bad on you. People are going to put the blame on you right away. But no, like, I think the villain was going to be Killer Moth, which is already like a red flag, honestly. I mean, Killer Moth, like, it's fine, but like, it's a dude, like, is a moth, like, dressed up as a moth. He's like, I mean, he's one of those old comic Batman villains that's like, it's kind of where he stays and belongs because it's like, why would you ever
bring him back?
Yeah, don't bring this guy back. Like, the only character I can think of that they did, like, bring back and do well was Catman. And that was in the comics, but like originally he was just like a bat. Like he was just like, oh, he's like the anti-Batman. He's yellow and orange and he's like a cat instead of a bat. He had like the same costume and everything. Really stupid character. But they did bring him back in like the late 2000s for like this like Secret Six group, which is like Bane, Deadshot, Vandal Savage's daughter. Like, man, I forget what this other guy's name was, but he could like bend his body and stuff. He was a Flash villain, I think. But they brought him back in that, and he was super cool. It was like, oh, this guy's badass. Like, he went to Africa, and he, like, was, like, lived with lions or something like that. But he, like, but now he's, like, super fit and jacked, and, like, he's actually cool, and he kills people and stuff. And it's like, this guy means business, you know? Like, right. That's the only character I think I've ever seen, like, reworked and, like, done very well. Like, it's hard to rework some of these old campy characters, you know?
Yeah.
Right. So, but then they weren't even going to have him be, like, an old campy character. They were going to, like, he was just going to be, like, his suit was just, like, clothes, and he had, like, a moth tattoo on his bald head. So, like, dude, that sucks. That, how many times do we have to see this in a movie to understand nobody likes that? That is lame. People don't want to see a classic comic character just turn into some bland, criminal mastermind. Right. Like, that's so boring. Like,
yeah,
that would have done poorly, and I'm glad they didn't do it, because that would have, and also, you know, it would have been bad for the actors and actresses in that movie, because they would have had this like smudge on their resume now, where that is actually like having those kind of like bad films that have been big films have really hurt actors and actresses before. Like, I actually knew, we were talking about Lex Luthor earlier, the guy who played Lex Luthor, he's a talented actor. But he actually said that he thinks that playing Lex Luthor actually hurt his career for a lot of years, where people, he wasn't getting put on like a lot of projects anymore. Like, people didn't take him seriously because it was like, oh yeah, you're the guy that did that terrible adaptation of Lex Luthor. Not his fault at all, but you know, it still was the role he played. So people are going to judge you for it. So definitely a good choice on James Gunn's part to cancel some of those projects and just move on to the next step.
Right. All right, well, you got any final thoughts before we give our verdict on this?
Not really. I mean, I've kind of said, you know, basically all the stuff I'm thinking about.
All right, so how are you scoring it?
I don't want to say 10 out of 10, because I feel like that's kind of like, you know, that's kind of glazing. Right? That's a lot. But honestly, I mean, like a 9 out of 10. Like, I really enjoyed the movie. It was a great superhero movie. It, as being a comic fan, I loved it. I think that everyone played their role very well. I think it was very well written. I'm really excited for this universe. I think it was a great start to this universe. I really don't have anything negative to say about it. Like, it wasn't a perfect movie, but, you know, it was right there, pretty close. So
yeah.
I would definitely say like a 9 out of 10.
So I'd go 8 out of 10. I agree. There's not anything I felt like was like severely missing from it, but you've kind of hit me on this before where I've been like, well, as a superhero movie or as an action movie, I'd rate it this way. And so if I think more broadly, you know, there's a little bit of like emotional tie-in in the movie, you know?
Yeah, no, there is some, and stuff. Yeah, there's some good emotional scenes.
But like, if I just think about it as a movie compared to all just, other movies out there, movies, I mean, you know, I'd probably maybe rate it a little bit lower, but I'd say 8 out of 10. It's mm-hmm. it's a good movie. It's a quality movie. It's a really good superhero movie.
Yeah.
You're going to be entertained, right? You're not going to be bored. You're not going to be rolling your eyes at any of the comedy or anything. I don't mm-hmm. think. Yeah, I thought it was a good movie. I think I'd recommend, you know, people go see it, whether you really are into superheroes or comics, or whether, you know, you liked some of the old superhero movies or old Superman mm-hmm. movies, or even, whether you're just looking for a good action film
to watch. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's worth your time.
Yeah. I've seen it 3 times and everybody I've seen it with has enjoyed the movie. And some of the people I've seen it with don't even like movies. Like they've even told me like they don't watch movies. They don't like it. And they saw it and they actually had a good time. You know, it's like everybody I've seen it with has liked the movie. The only people I've seen that haven't liked it have been people online who it looks like they're almost just kind of looking for something to complain about, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, no, as a superhero movie, if you wanted to rate it like that, I would probably give it a 10 as just like a superhero movie. Like it's perfect. It's everything you want in a superhero movie. But yeah, as a movie, I'd probably give it a 9 because I think it was really good. It was a great action movie and a great superhero film. But yeah, it's not like, oh my God, this is a perfect movie up there of like some of the greats, you know?
Yeah.
But it's still a really good movie. I would definitely watch this. I've already watched it 3 times. I would watch it again, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So
yeah, at the end of the day, you want a movie to entertain you. Right. Mm-hmm. I want to be entertained. Take me to another universe for a couple of hours. And that's what it does.
Yeah.
I think it does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you to everyone for listening. Tell us what you think about the movie and how you'd score it. And make sure you subscribe and be sure to check out our next episode.